dream. I had this dream two nights ago that I can't escape. And I'll tell you about the dream. And then in the dream, I dreamed about a dream. So this is one of those weird, like, Planet of the Apes kind of things. You know, it's going to mess with your mind a little bit. I dreamed about a dream. And Dad was in the dream. And so that's why I think Dad may end up helping me with this sermon. We may do a tag team. So you better be ready. How many in here grew up watching the Brady Bunch? I don't have any films to play today. I don't have any corny videos. Although I don't know that I made the point about the hamburger last week. The thing about the hamburger that was so cool was he had no power. He was not strong. He was a little wimpy thing that just went around and made noises. But what he did is he distracted Ronald McDonald all the time to grab the hamburgers. And I think that's what the enemy does sometimes. He makes noise, and he gets us looking at all this other stuff so he can grab our lunch, you know? It's not that he is powerful in a sense. He was an angel. He's a fallen angel, but, you know, he's not like God powerful. He's not like Jesus powerful. You know, when Jesus walked in, they say, "Oh, Jesus, have mercy on us," right? But he makes a lot of noise. He gets us looking the other way, and he steals our french fries or our hamburgers, all right? So, but I'm not going to play a video today. But how many did remember, I'm being serious, the Brady Bunch? I know these young kids probably don't. Anybody watch the Brady Bunch? So I see a generation gap. Carol, I know you're young, but I thought you would have watched the Brady Bunch. You watched, you're just afraid to raise your hand and I would pick you out, so I picked you out because you didn't raise your hand. How many remember there was a Christmas episode of the Brady Bunch where Carol, was her name Carol Brady? Huh? The mom, yeah. Can anybody sing the song? That's good enough. That's good. We don't have to do all of it. You were awesome, though. Angela was awesome. But in a story, all right. How many remember the Christmas? Let's get back online here, though. How many remember the Christmas episode? The Christmas episode was a special, I think like an hour episode, where she was supposed to sing a Christmas song at a church. Y'all remember this? You remember this, Mom? Mom's getting excited about it. See, we're getting back in the real era, you know. She got laryngitis, and it didn't look like she was going to be able to sing. And I think it was Cindy, the little one, one of them, prayed for her to get her voice back. And she got her voice back. And she sang her Christmas song, right? And so when I had this dream the other night, for some reason, I thought of this, and maybe you'll see it. It was two nights ago, and I was sleeping, and it woke me up. I dreamed this. I dreamed Dad got up here in this service, and he said, "I had a dream last night." So I dreamed about my father revealing his dream. And he said it was the scariest dream I've ever had. And he said, "I dreamed that the church lost its voice." And it began to break. And then we preached. And I started thinking about that, of all this talk about, you know, I really meant to wrap up the whole Satan stealing things and all this, but I started thinking about, has the church lost its voice? And who is the church? Right, Jesus said that you are the temple, that we are the temple, we are the church. The ecclesia, the only word used in the New Testament, means body of believers. You can be a church without a building. And there's a lot of good churches without buildings. Jesus had one. and so, you know, but I wonder if God's people, if we still have a voice. And what does that even mean? Does that mean we're literally mute? Or does it mean we might not even be talking about the things we're supposed to be talking about? Because most of us in this room aren't, and if you are, I'm not trying to mock you or make fun of your disability, but I don't know of anyone in this room that is literally mute. If you are, that's okay. God can use you anyway. But it's not always about the literal ability to speak so much as it is, are we speaking with the voice that God put inside of you and called you to speak? Because it's not just about talking, it's about speaking. You all have a voice. I have a voice. And my voice is, I've been told, loud. My grandpa had a loud voice. And so sometimes I'm a little loud, and I don't mean to be. I'm just loud. But not everybody's loud, but you all have a voice. And not only do you have a voice, here's a unique thing. Each person in this room, you have ears. Not you have ears. There are ears around you that are, you have been strategically placed around those ears with the purpose of using your voice to pour into those ears. So everyone in this room has a voice, and there are people in your vicinity, or people that are supposed to be in your vicinity, if you put yourself in the places you're supposed to be in, that need to hear that voice inside of you. See, it's not just preachers that have voices. You all have voices. We all have the same opportunities. And so I believe with all my heart, and I'm going to read the scripture in just a minute, but that we are finite resources, meaning, you know, if you understand business, there's this idea that poor businesses have that we can just crank up more. It's like the old Spinal Tap. If it's up to 10, just make an 11. But we're finite resources, Josh. There's only so much we have. Sometimes you just can't add hours to your day. You can't add minutes to your day. We all have only a certain amount of words we can use a day. And so it's, what do we use with those voices? What do we choose to put those words to use, right? We all have that because we're all speaking something. And there's ears and eyes watching what we're speaking. And I started thinking, wonder why that my dad, it was a dream, but I respect him so much that when he told me in the dream, or he told you all in the dream, that was the scariest thing he had ever heard, was that a church would lose its voice, that bothered me. And it bothers me because there's nobody in this room that was put here just to exist, just to get by, just to sit in a pew. You are here for a reason, and you have a voice that the world needs to hear. Because otherwise, why would we do all this? Why would we come and do all this and give up Sunday mornings when we could be golfing or whatever and just sitting in our pajamas? Why would we do all this if we really didn't believe there's a purpose to it? If we really didn't believe there's something we're supposed to do? But it starts with a voice. I know you got to have actions to back up your words. But if we don't even have a voice, how will they know? Who will teach the children? Who will teach your children? Who will change your community? Who will reach your neighbor? Who? And so I want to read a very familiar scripture. And I don't know where this will go. I hope Dad's ready. But because we're not going to be here long. And I know I've said that before, and sometimes you guys don't believe it. But we're really not going to be here long because this is audible. Omaha, I'm changing things up. I wasn't running this play today. I'm audible at the line of scrimmage. So I don't think we're going to be here long. But I'm going to read in Luke chapter 1. Luke 1. About a man who knew all the religious rules, but he lost his voice. He was in the temple. He played the rules. He said he had all the right things, but he lost his voice. And interestingly enough, it's under the title Birth of the Savior. So I guess like the Brady Bunch, it's a Christmas story. So here we go. I'm going to read in Luke chapter 1, verse, I need my glasses, honey. 5. Looks like a 3. It's a 5. Here we go. Luke 1 and 5. You guys ready? When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. Say Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah. And his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. Let me say that again. They were careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. And as was the custom of the priest, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. And while Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God." Could you imagine? Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, comes and sits in the temple before this man. That verse, I mean, we could just stop at that verse and go home. "I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until this child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. I think a lot of people out there wonder why we take so long in here. Maybe because we've been in the presence of the Lord. Got everything to do with it? Okay, I agree with that. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silences that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. You may be seated. So here's this man, a priest who had it all together. The Word of God says he kept all of the commandments and he obeyed all the rules. But there was one thing that caused him issues in this thing. God challenged him with some new and things that he couldn't quite, his faith couldn't get around. God challenged him and said, "You're going to do great. There's going to be great things coming, Zechariah. Yeah, I know you keep the rules and you go to church and all that, but I've not called you just to do that. I've called you to bring forth a vision, a dream. I've called you to bring forth the voice in the wilderness. John the Baptist, the one who would baptize Jesus Christ, the one who would be the forerunner of Jesus. I've called you at your old age to be the one to bring forth John the Baptist. So in other words, God shows up in the church, in the temple, and says, I've got something really radical that I'm challenging you with. I know you've been going to church. See, you got to understand, as a priest, there was a lot of ritualistic monotony to what he did. And there's not that was what they did. I'm not saying there is a good thing about discipline. I mean, I think we need more discipline. I mean, there's many times that I'm tired. And this man's way more tired than me many times. And you don't feel like coming. There's times you got to be disciplined to come anyway. That's how you... I know it's not always about just coming to church. But you can't build a relationship with no woman or no man if you don't go see them. You can't build a business if you don't show up to work. You want to rise to the top of your business? You want to be successful in life? Show up to work. Punch your card, whether you feel like it or not. Pack a pail. Put on your big girl britches. And work. But he was good at that part. He showed up. Right, Johnny? He would show up. And I remember that powerful word. He would show up. He would come and do all the rituals over and over and over. And he had that part covered. But when God told him about a powerful purpose that was for him. See, I think a lot of people come to church to hear the preachers and watch the praise band. Watch wheel drum. Wherever he is. They come to see the preachers. And I think it was Wesley that said, of course, I think they've attributed to different preachers, but supposedly said that you'll go see. They come to see you. It says, I set myself on fire and people come to watch. You know, you've heard that quote. But I think people are good, they're okay with that part in America, at least sometimes. Some of us got to work on that. We want promotions and we don't want to work. We want to show up for payday. We don't want to show up work. But Zechariah was good at that part. But when God said you have purpose, bigger than what you know, that's when it messed with Zechariah. This man who knew all the rules and kept all the commandments, he didn't watch the late night show on the Cinemax or whatever. He didn't do all the bad things that all the good people aren't supposed to do. But when God challenged him with purpose, with stepping into more, he didn't believe it. He didn't see it. Now, he didn't blaspheme and he didn't curse and he didn't storm out. But just his fact of unbelief at the vision that God... Listen, what God has revealed to you and is revealing it to you and is going to continue to reveal to you if you let him is that you have powerful purpose. Each person in this room, you are called to do something. I have no desire, and I know my father has no desire, to collect people here just to say, look how many people showed up. The purpose is to wind you guys up, utilize you, let you guys find your calling and change your world. God wants to use you. But what happened was Zechariah didn't see it because he felt it was impossible given his situation. There's many of you in this room, if we're really real with ourselves, me included, that could say, I feel like all this talk about vision and purpose is good for some people, but I felt I've forfeited that, or I don't feel worthy of that, or for Zechariah, it was his age. He was too old for the situation. But for many of us, it's not our age. It could be. It could be we're too young or we're too old or we've messed up too many times or we're not good at this or we're not good at that or we're not confident or we're not, but nobody knows us or we don't fit in or we're not in the in crowd or we're not in the out crowd or all this stuff that the devil put in our heads because he wants to keep you silent. He doesn't want to hear the voice that God put inside you. Now, he don't care if you talk about all the other stuff. You can talk about sports and politics and the weather. He don't care. But if you start speaking with vision, with purpose, with power. Actually, like Dakota said last week, when, you know, and for those that say, well, I messed up too much. I did this. I was delivered from drugs and this and that and this and that. Dakota did a wonderful job of that last week. Then praise God, if you was delivered from it, you got a voice. It's time to share the voice because there's people that need to hear. But even if you've not, you know, not everybody in this room is a recovering alcoholic or whatever. Everybody's got different stories, though. We've all got a voice that God has put inside of you. So ironically, Zechariah loses his voice until he and his wife really, delivers the voice. The voice in the wilderness. When she delivered, isn't it ironic that the man we would call the voice in the wilderness, that Zechariah loses his voice because he didn't believe the voice was coming until Elizabeth births the voice. Many of us are in a hold pattern and we don't have a voice. We're not using our voice. We're not speaking life. We're not speaking love. We're not. But God is ready to birth the voice. He's ready to birth purpose in your life. He's ready to birth something new in your life. John the Baptist. And you know the irony. Zechariah spent all of his time in the temple, obeying the rules and looking the same as the priest. And here comes John the Baptist, who is in the same bloodline as all the priests. But he takes it to the streets. He takes it a whole new place. He didn't go to the temple. John went out in the wilderness. Jesus said, what kind of man did you expect to find out there? Y'all complaining because he's a little crazy acting? Who did you go to the wilderness to see? You didn't go in the temple. You went to the wilderness. And there's a wild man out there preaching the gospel, telling that Jesus is coming. The Bible said he had the spirit of Elijah. And Jesus himself said, no greater man has ever lived. He went out in the wilderness and he dressed different and he looked different. And the temple crowd didn't go out there. I mean, what you had is a remnant. What you had is a group of hungry people that weren't finding their purpose in the temple anymore. That's what you had. You got to get this. What you had was a group of hungry people that wasn't finding purpose in just going through the motions. There's nothing wrong with the building. You need a building unless you want to get wet or unless you want to preach in the snow. And we've done that. But some of you ain't going to show up in the snow. I'm glad you said. See, I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to say it. But boy, I lobbed it up there for you, didn't I? I lobbed it up there for you. See, I love when he's rough, because you all love him anyway. I get such a hard time. They call me mean. He says the meaner thing sometimes. He just does it in a way that everybody, oh, that's old Pastor R giving it to us hard. He didn't fit in with the people that went out to see John were looking for more in life. And maybe that's why you're here today. Because there's a lot of places you can go. And there's nothing wrong with any of those places. We have no pattern on the Holy Spirit here today. There's plenty of churches all over this area you can go to. You can get fed. It's what you do in your personal time. Probably it's going to make the difference anyway. But God has called you here to this place. See, God's called some people to those places too. That's fine. You know, that's fine. If God calls you, you go where God calls you. If you're called to another ministry, then do it the right way. Come tell us. We'll love you. We'll pray you out the door. We'll give you a reference. We'll give you a kiss on the cheek. But don't you go just doing it because you're mad or some kind of crazy thing. But if God really calls you somewhere else, then go. Hallelujah. We don't have a patent on it. But you are here today, I believe, with a purpose. You wouldn't be here if God didn't call you to this place. You see, they got their people, but you are this people's. You are Lost Creek people. You are called here for, and you may not know why you're here. You say, I don't know why I'm here. I'm just here. God is calling you. He's wooing you here because he has a purpose for you. He wants to use your voice. You are here for a reason. And so this hungry remnant who weren't finding their purpose and going through the motions, they went out into the wilderness seeking something different, radical, that wasn't in their scripture yet. And there's prophecies, but you got to remember the New Testament wasn't even written yet. They were having to hear from God and listen to that call. And so they go out in this wilderness to listen to this crazy man preach the way nobody's ever preached. Talking about radical things like baptize. What is baptizing? Do you realize that? What is? There were ritualistic washings they did, was they went and washed their hands at the temple and feet. But what was baptizing? Show me in the Old Testament where John got the authority to baptize. He had to hear from God. He went out and baptized them, and he said, oh, but there's going to be one coming later. He won't baptize you with water. He's going to baptize you with fire. And so they went out there hungry, looking for something. And the Bible says he was the one that would pave the way for the Messiah. He would pave the way for the gospel. He would pave the way for Jesus' first coming. And so there they go. And I wonder, and I've talked about this before, I wonder how many were there. I mean, do you ever wonder that? It doesn't really say. How many were out there? How many were out there expecting? Or how many weren't? So you have to be expecting to go out in the wilderness. If you want to get something out of this, and I don't mean this because I don't know where I'm going here today. I'm just trying to go with the Spirit. But I mean this. If you want to get something out of what God has called you to be about, you've got to have expectancy. You can't just come in the wilderness. You can't just show up in the wilderness just to show up. You got to come to the wilderness looking for something that God wants to give you. He wants to show you something. But you got to be interested in it. God, what do you want to give me? What do you want to show me? What do you want my life to be about? If you have that kind of expectancy. See, those people that left their lives behind to go out in that wilderness were desperate people. If you're satisfied where you are, you won't go out in the wilderness. And that'll change. So these people were out there, and I wonder how many there were. Or I wonder how many, Dad, saw a few baptisms. And that's cool, and it was exciting at first. Woo, man, that John the Baptist, that's a bad dude, man. I love watching that guy preach, man. He's right up. He calls out them Pharisees. He calls them out. He preaches hard. But then I wonder after a few baptisms, I said, well, he's getting a little hard. That little hard's getting a little clay. I wonder how many of them left. I wonder how many of them had the opportunity. Because I'm getting ready to tell you about one of the greatest days in history. There's so many great ones. One of the greatest days in history. And I wonder how many people were there. And I wonder how many people missed it. You see, amazing things happen here. And other places too. But amazing things happen here. And many times people come and don't even see what happens. We've had services where, especially before COVID, where there'd be 38 people on this altar and people getting saved and healings happening. We've had canes hung on the wall. We've had people with total replacements walking out. We've had all kinds of things. And then some people walk out and didn't even see what happened. What kind of man did you expect to see in the wilderness? What did you expect to see when you came here? Because you got to have that expectancy. And you got to be willing to let God bend you a little bit. Because I promise you, there's nothing in the Old Testament that looks like what John was doing. It was not inconsistent with it, but he wasn't in there. He was hearing from God. And so I wonder how many of them quit and left. But there were a few that day by the Jordan when John was doing what John did and baptizing people. And he'd been talking about this one coming. He'd been talking about this thing coming. You've heard preachers talk to you. You've heard us talk to you. You've heard other preachers probably talk to you your whole life about purpose coming. And some people say, well, where is it coming? But we have to ask ourselves, are we putting ourselves in the right position? Are we still at the banks of the Jordan, or do we head back to town? And there were some by the banks of the Jordan that day when John was doing what John was doing and baptizing. And all of a sudden, John looks up. I don't even know what his eyes must have looked like. I mean, he spent his whole life preparing for a moment. Do you understand that? That God has prepared you and I. He has prepared your whole life. And I know you didn't see his hand on your life always. I sure didn't see his hand on my life. And I've ran away from his hand at times. But he has put his hand on our life. And even times you didn't feel it, he has prepared you to put you in a position to use you. He has planned these days. All the things, good, bad, and ugly, he will use for this moment to launch you into your destiny. Here was John, who had spent his whole life preaching about the coming of Jesus the Messiah. There he stood by the banks of the Jordan, faithfully out in the wilderness with a remnant few who were hungry for more. Who were hungry for more. And I don't know what kind of day it was for John, but he showed up to work. He didn't quit. And he looks up, and he's seen so many people come down to the water. We don't know how many. We see so many people come indoors, don't we? But he looks up, and he saw something he'd never seen. You want to know why this, what, and I'm not comparing this man to Jesus, but he is our local shepherd. I'm a JV shepherd. Thank you. He said, that's right. I might be 7th and 8th grade. They ain't even playing this year, are they, Joe? Why do you think this man gets so excited when you come? You think it's because he's OCD or crazy? They call John the Baptist crazy, too. You got to be a little crazy to do this stuff. I'll be honest with you. Why do you think he gets so excited? Yeah, he loves you. Because when he looks up, he sees that purpose he's been waiting, walking. Even when you and I don't see it. Even when we don't see it. Even we don't see it. And John looks up, and his eyes had to boggle out of his head because he'd been preaching for this moment for all history. This is what he'd been waiting for. In fact, this is what the whole Bible was leading up to. The whole Old Testament was leading up to this moment. Yeah, I know 30 years early he'd been born, but he was laying low under the radar, just living life. And all of a sudden, in the wilderness... So you want to find Jesus? Go to the wilderness. Hang out with some remnant people. All of a sudden, walking in the middle of that wilderness down to that water was Jesus. This one he had been expecting, waiting. I'm here to tell you this. This Jesus, first of all, has been waiting on you for years. He's been waiting on you to walk into your Jordan River moment for years. And so is this man. And so is this man. Because we see purpose in you. God gives us the ability, not that we're superheroes, to see powerful purpose in every single person in this room. And that's why as Will found out, we believe in redemption. Because if God will use me, he'll use anybody. From we were ministered to by a man on death row, man, in Louisiana, singing to us the most beautiful songs you ever heard, making us a cross necklaces. I mean, God will use anybody, but God has specifically put you in this position. And so John looks up, and Jesus walks into the water. Can you imagine that moment? Human history has waited for one moment for the launching of the Messiah. And I'm not saying there's any Messiahs in this room, but I will say this, when you follow Jesus, he lives inside you. He has equipped you with your Holy Spirit, and he has said, greater things shall you do. And so he's ready to launch you today. He's ready to birth something new in you today. He's here to give you your voice back, or to give you a voice if you don't have one. Christmas miracle. And so John, you know the story, Jesus says, John says, I can't baptize you. Lord, behold the Son of God, the Lamb who comes to take away the sins of the world. Behold, I've waited my life for this moment. On the precipice, on the verge of history, the crux of history, the crescendo. I've waited for this moment, Jesus. I'm not worthy to baptize you. Some of you don't feel worthy for the voice. You don't feel worthy. Too messed up, too shy, too unqualified. I'm just not sure of myself enough. Jesus, I can't baptize you. You got to baptize me. But like what Jeannie told Joe, Jesus said, no, your job is to baptize me. That's why I put you on this earth. You were born for this day, son. John the Baptist, you were born for this moment. Lost Creek, you were born for this moment. Well, I just don't know. I think the church is on the run with COVID and all this political stuff. And this was the moment on which you were born. You were called for this day to be the voice in the wilderness and launch out a dream. You have a voice. So the voice in the wilderness beheld the word of God. The voice beheld the word. And Jesus said, no, John, this is your day. This is your day. He said, let Pastor R do it. No, Lost Creek, this is your moment. God puts you here in this place for this time. He put you in your family. He put you in your school. He put you in your community. He put you in your job. He put you in your church. He put you in your community for purpose. Your purpose is not to get checked on all the time by pastors. It's to launch out and change the world. Because he could do that. Jesus could have just said, yeah, I'm here. I'm Jesus. I'll take over. But it was a powerful thing that was happening there because Jesus was telling John, this is your day. This is your purpose. You are on earth for a reason. Whether you're walking in it or not, you're on earth for a reason. Whether you know you have a voice or not. And so Jesus is baptized by John. And you know the story. It's the most powerful moment. One of the most powerful moments. So many. Where at one point, just like creation. You know, in creation it says, in the beginning, right, was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. In the beginning, God spoke. That was God's Word. That is Jesus. The Word created the heavens and the earth, the Word, God's Word. But it also said the Spirit hovered over the waters like a bird. So at the initial creation, you had Father, Son, and Spirit over the water. But here we have the new covenant, new man, new Adam. A whole new day begins at this one moment. And there once again is the water. The Spirit descends over the water, lands upon Jesus. The Spirit Father says, behold my Son, my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. So you have Father, Son, and Spirit all at the water, all at the same time. New creation, new day, new covenant. Good news for you and me, because it starts at that point. At that very point, Jesus, John births, in a sense, he was the forerunner. But at that moment, at the baptism, Jesus is launched out. And he goes immediately into the wilderness, gets out of the wilderness, goes to a wedding, turns some water and wine, and man, it just starts blowing up, man. The eyes start opening and dead people start getting out of the dirt. He starts walking on water. Limbs start getting formed. It just blows up from that moment on, right? But it started by a river in a wilderness with a few hungry people looking for more. Searching for more. Joe and Selena, I don't want to do this, but I got to say this because you were up here and Jenny said that, and I just got to say what God's put on my heart. God's launching you out. Even you're the most gifted business guy. You help us so much in so many ways. This guy knows every rule on all this stuff we have to deal with. He because he does it. God has you brought him. But no. There's a word in you, and it's coming. I hear it, both of you. But I hear it coming out. It's leaking out. It's leaking out. It's gonna break out. And you know it too. Both of you know it. And you're scared of it. That's okay. Go away, go anyway. Run anyway, right? Run at it. It's breakout time. So the voice in the wilderness, and Jesus is launched out. And you guys know the rest of the story as Jesus is going in his ministry. Some of John's followers start going to Jesus. And you think John would get jealous. But John says, no. Just like Jesus gave John his moment, John knew it was Jesus' moment now. And he said, I must decrease so that you may increase. He didn't know what that meant. But you know what his decrease meant? It meant losing his head. That's really decrease. That's decreasing about 8 pounds or 12 pounds. How much is a head? Huh? 8 pounds. That was pretty good. I must have felt some heads in my life. I don't know. Mine's about 20 because I got a big head. For John to decrease and Jesus to increase literally meant it cost him his life because he was going to give his head. That's why, are we online? If you're all those religious people, turn off for a minute. That's why I have a beheaded John the Baptist on my arm, because it says revolution, because it's a reminder to me that I've got to be willing to decrease for God to increase. It's not about me. And I'm perfectly willing to decrease because I believe God is going to increase some people in this room. He's doing some things for those that are really hungry and expecting and who want their voice. And so John says, that's fine. They need to go to Jesus. It's his time. I just came to pave a way. And then they arrest John, and you know the story. John's in prison, and I've heard it preached, and I've preached it different ways about how the banks of the Jordan look different than the view in prison where John sends word. Now Jesus, he sends his followers to Jesus, and John's on death row getting ready to be executed. We're coming to a close. He's getting ready to be executed, and he sends his followers to Jesus and says, now Jesus, are you sure you're the one? And you know, Jesus tells him, go back and tell him the blind are being healed, the lame are being healed, and the miracles you're seeing. Go back and tell him, yeah, that thing you started, it's going. It's going good, right? It's going. It's going. And I preach it sometimes that John had a momentary lack of faith or lapse in faith, and he might have. But, you know, there might be a different way to look at that. I don't know. I mean, we don't know. And I don't know if Josh has ever thought of this, or Johnny, or some of these guys in the room, but, you know, John was getting ready to check out. He knew it. And he might have just been wanting to make sure to boost Jesus a little bit. Like, all right, I'm getting ready to give up my head. You better get this now. Kind of like when Jesus left and left the disciples. I mean, he might have been saying, Jesus, it's go time. I'm checking out. I mean, I don't know. But Jesus said, yeah, tell him everything's going good. We got this. The world's getting ready to change forever. And I'm going to call people for the next however many years I let this planet go. I'm going to bring them together. And I'm going to give them a voice. And so, all that to say this, the voice was born, and the voice served a powerful purpose. How many know the Word of God says that we're kind of like the second coming of John the Baptist? Our job is the church, the bride, is to sort of prepare the way for the second coming, right? I mean, that's what we're called to do. We're called to be the modern day voice of God. Voice in the wilderness, preparing the way for the next great coming of Jesus. Okay? And so we share that powerful destiny. But Zechariah, going back to him, had lost his voice because he didn't believe in that dream. Now something great happened though. When his wife bore that son, then Zechariah got his voice back. When the dream was birthed, he found his voice again. And many of you have lost your voice, but it's just not been birthed yet. It's in there. And once that thing is birthed, once that is launched, that destiny is launched, really launched, not just talk about, launched. Like when you launch something, you can't take it. You can't take it. You can't put it. You can't shove a baby back in. I mean, I'm not the doctor in the room, but I don't. Can you shove them back in? You wouldn't try it. My mama probably wished she could shove me back in right now. Probably a few times in my life, she would like to just. When you really launch something, you can't put it back. It's like Will when that broke. When the water balloon breaks, you can't put the balloon back together and refill it. It just bursts everywhere. When you really launch, there ain't no going back. When you really launch. And so the thing is, many of us find ourselves in this place where we're like those people in the wilderness. We've really not launched yet. We're talking about launch. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't feel bad about that. Don't feel bad about that. Because you're here. You're here. I mean, you're hungry. And maybe you've not been launched yet. But you're thinking about it. And it's the hungry that get fed. Eaters eat, right? And so many of you have not been launched yet. But you're thinking about it. But I'm here to tell you that God wants you to have your voice. And he wants to birth purpose in you. He wants to totally change your life. Totally change your life. You say, I don't know what that looks like. I don't either. You just trust him. It's like the navigator. We were talking about this, Val and I, this week. I used to know how to get everywhere. If you go to a city, you just learn it. You learn the map. You learn it. I don't know if I can find my way home anymore. Because you just push it in your phone, and it tells you every step. All I do is trust the next thing it says. I don't know the route. I just know it says turn ahead 1 mile. Sometimes that's how it is following Jesus. Our logical minds want to know all the steps, and sometimes he's saying, I'm a navigation system. Just trust the next one. Just trust this turn. We'll worry about the 38th turn down the road. Just trust this turn. One turn at a time, and we're getting somewhere. One turn at a time, and you're getting somewhere. So I don't know what it looks like for you, but I know his word is true, and I know before you were born, God had a powerful purpose for you, and I know you're here today for a reason, and you may think it's because somebody invited you, or you may think it's because you ain't got nowhere else to go, or you may think because I love poor old Mr. Pastor R, or you may think, boy, I wish Pastor R would preach again, this big guy is driving me crazy. I don't know why you think you're here. But I tell you why God says you're here, because he wants to launch you into the next phase of your life. And I don't know if it's children's ministry or youth ministry. Man, I'm going to say this, and this is no offense, because they're awesome and they're called and they're the best I've ever seen. But they're getting old. We need some people to help. We need some young people to do youth ministry. Amen. We need some people to do prison. I'm getting old. We need some people to do prison ministry. We need some people to do homeless ministry, right, don't we? We need some people to step up, to walk out in the streets and lay hands on people, to be bold, to change the community, to spread love and joy and hope and smiles. Holy smiles. Hallelujah. So you're here for a reason. And the devil wants to shut you up. And he wants you not to have a voice in this thing. But I'm here to tell you, you have a voice. And it's time to use it. It's time for us to use our voice that God gave us to change your life and this community's life. I believe that's why I had that dream that Dad had a dream. Because I believe the enemy wants to keep your mouth shut. And he don't mind. I'm going to say this. I don't even know that he don't like it what I say or what Dad says. But I don't even know if he minds that.
as long as you all don't start saying it.
That's right.
Because we're just one or two people up on a podium in a little building. But if this stuff gets out there, man, that's dangerous stuff. That's what he's scared of. That's what he's scared of. All I want to do today as we come to a close, I want to be like Sissy here. I want to be a birther. I think he's a birther. We just want to be like sitting at the end of the operating room like Johnny Bench. Birthing vision. Birth. That's what she does. Those of you don't know, that's what she does. Birthing vision. Birthing vision.
Yes. Yes.
See, we're not a geriatric unit.
Yes.
We're not a geriatric unit.
No.
We launch vision. I'm not here to take care of old sick people. Nothing wrong with old sick people. We're here to pray on them, let them be healed, okay? But what I'm saying is, we're here to launch vision.
Yes.
And purpose. We spend too much time creating orthotics and prosthetics and helping people get around with limbs when we just need to launch vision and dreamers who get it.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You want your voice back? Do you want your voice? Does your children or your spouse know your voice? Do your parents, your coworkers, do they know what your voice sounds like? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I know they know your words, what they sound like. Does your husband or wife know your voice? Do you pray together? Do you talk powerful purpose? Do you build each other up? Are you a voice of hope and life and love? Today, I believe with all my heart that I had a dream about what my dad said was the scariest thing he had ever dreamed. Because that's the one thing this church body or any church body can't afford to lose.
That's right. That's right.
You can't lose your voice. And if you don't have one yet, and I know you, I don't mean that in a bad way. Like I said, if you're just not using it like you know that you're called to use it, then like the Brady Bunch story, today can be your Christmas miracle. We can see a launching of something, right? And you may be a beautiful singer like some of these that sing on the praise banner. You may sing like me, and I sound like a drunk Johnny Cash in a cauldron or something. I don't know. It's awful, awful, awful. Huh? You don't think it's that bad? That's love, because it's pretty bad. God didn't let me have a good singing voice because I'd have pride if I already have some, but I'm trying to work on it. I'd be too prideful if I could sing. God loves you guys.
Yes.
Thank you for putting up with this.
Yes.
You got something you want? I feel like you got something to
add. Yes, I have a word right here because God, God's water's getting, God's getting ready to break somebody's water in here.
Come on.
And what is the next thing to come in your life cannot come until what that has encased you is released so you can be birthed into your next dimension, your next purpose. I was thinking of the story when I was thinking about this word just a minute ago. April 7th, 1978, Mrs. R here was like this.
He's not making fun of her weight, guys.
Listen, I'm not. She was going to have a baby. Come on, help me out here, guys. She's going to have a baby. And it was this baby. 1978, April 7, 1978. She was ready to have a baby. And my mother and her mother was both over there, granny chasing, getting ready to granny chase. That's old-time mountain term for
being with the one that's going to have the baby. Do you get what I'm saying? Come on, you guys not that. Come on. And so they were watching her, and she was really miserable, and she just needed that baby out. But this is what happened. And I probably thought, Kathy probably thought, I'm not going to have this baby. So she said, honey, let's go over to Hillbilly and get some fried chicken. Are y'all listening to me today?
You know what? Dad and Hillbilly got a long history, don't they? Okay.
I didn't think of that. That just then. It's a whole different place. It was really the original.
You're still birthing a Hillbilly.
Yeah. Nothing happened until Mrs. R, Miss Kathy, and myself walked over to the Hillbilly to get the chicken. And when we walked over the Hillbilly and come back with the chicken, her water broke on the way back. Isn't that true? Okay. Nothing's going to change in your life until you make your step. Come on. Oh, you can come and you can sit and you can look pretty and you can look all this stuff, but nothing's going to change in your life until you make that one step and say, I've got purpose in me and I want to get this thing out. I want my life to be fulfilled. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Nothing changes. Such a powerful word today. It's the word we needed to hear. And you needed to hear this word. I feel impressed to share that with you. God says, if you'll make the step, your water's going to break. And there comes your purpose. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? But nothing changes if you remain stoic. I'm just going to hang on to my purpose. Ain't nothing going to move me. And all the time, that powerful voice is inside you. Ready to be birthed. Ready to change the world. Ready to do things in your life. But it starts with that step. It starts with that step. It starts with that step. I'm miserable. And if you're not living the purpose of God, I'm going to tell you something right now. You may think you're happy, but you're not happy. You're miserable, let me tell you. Because there's something greater inside you. And God's not going to let you be happy and all wonderful and all peachy and creamy. He's not going to let you do that as long as you are setting on your purpose. So change that today. You can change that. God told you today what you need to do. And so what you need to do is make that step toward that. If you believe that the purpose of God is ready to be birthed inside you, from you today, there's something God put in there, ready to come out, then you need to be the participant here. You need to be on that end, and you need to do something about it. And you can do something about it. The thing you can do is make your step toward that today. Amen.
Because how many have been pregnant in the room? Sal, put your hand down. No, you know what it's like. If you're a woman in this room and you've been pregnant, it don't feel like you're supposed to feel. You're carrying that thing around, and you know it's got to get out of there. And I think that's what Dad was saying. You know, some of you in this room, you know you've got that purpose in there, and you're walking around, and you're scared of giving birth. But God says, give birth, and I'll give you your voice. Give birth, and I'll give you your voice. I can't wait to see it. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see this community change. And I can't wait to hear all the negative talk that everybody puts out there about politics and disease and all that. I could care less. I can't wait to people say, there was a group of people up on a hill that had a voice. And they saw through the junk They didn't fall like, they didn't do like the world, get all that negative stuff. They just showed Jesus out there, man. They just went on their jobs and in their church, and they made a difference in their world and paved the way for what Jesus is getting ready to do. Stay salty. Gotcha. All right, stay salty. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. That's a good word. That's a good word. Your voice. So I'm going to ask you just to thank you for being patient. Was that too long? I hope it wasn't too long. And thank you, Dad. I really felt like it was going to be a tag team because in my dream, and I'm not much on dreams, but I'm starting to get more of them. He gave that dream, and then we both kind of preached it, and that's just how it went. And so in the dream, though, then you all found your voice. So I'm just hoping for that. Praying for that. That's what I'm praying for. I know it's weird, and I'm trying not to be extra weird. I'm really not one of the weirdos. I'm usually kind of cynical of the weird, but this is kind of weird because this is kind of what happened in my dream. But I promise you, in the end, it was good. And so that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm ready to hear some voices. And, you know, like I say, from a practical standpoint, you say, what's it all mean practically? We'll talk about it. Let's start with birthing it, and then we'll help you get there. We'll help you get there. Amen. He's got half a century on the job, and I'm about a fourth of that. But we'll God will get you there. Amen. So let me ask you to do me this favor. I want you to just stay seated today. I'm going to do things a little different because all this. But I do want you to bow your head for me as we conclude.
It's good.
I want to ask you a question. How many would say that the Holy Spirit, even as wild as this day's been or different as this day's been, has shown you that maybe you have more voice to use, that you have more purpose in you to use, that there's more of that, there's more there, there's more in there that you need to birth out, that wants to be, you want to birth some more out of it. There's expectancy in you, and you really want to birth a purpose in your life. Is there anybody that would raise their hand? I see hands all over. That say that's me. That I know I have a greater purpose, and I want God to use me in that way. I know that I'm not just here for just to hang out. That God is calling me to do more. That there's a hunger in me to do more for Him. That I want to find my voice. There's hands all over this room. Hands all over this room. That I'm ready to birth. I'm ready to launch. And I don't even know what that looks like, and I'm a little bit scared of it. But I really want to find out what God's got for me. I'm willing to give it a try. I'm just willing to give it a try. Anybody else want to raise their hand? Now, there's been hands all over this room. Is there anybody in the building right now that says, you know what? There's no shame in this. Everybody does this at least once. That right now I'm not following Jesus, but I'm interested. I'm interested. And I'm not going to point anybody out. I just want to know how we're supposed to pray this morning. We're getting ready to pray and wrap this up. But is there anybody right now that says, I'm really not following Jesus and I want to? I just want to make that commitment to follow Him. Anybody at all? Anybody at all? Hallelujah. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. We're going to pray. And I'm actually going to get my sister to pray. And we're going to pray that this room today becomes an OB unit.
Yes.
A birthing unit. And just like Wheelwright in that prison, when that inmate came and wrapped his arms around him, I'm going to pray that you just burst, that just something just breaks all over you. And I pray that you can never be the same, that you just can't be, you know, that you just launch out and you just can't go back. You know, that's the thing. God loves you that much. That's the cool thing. It's a good thing to be chosen. It's a good thing to be called. It's a good thing to be loved. It's a good thing that God has purpose in you, and you're important to Him, and you matter to Him, and you're somebody to Him. That's an awesome thing. Something to smile about and be happy about, not to dread, but to be joyous about. So I know we can't because of COVID, and everybody still keep your eyes closed for a second. I know because of COVID, we can't really supposed to come up here and do all this, but here's what I am going to ask you to do. If you want to launch out and give birth today, you really want to launch out and give birth today, and you want to walk in new purpose, I want you to stand up right now. I want you to make a stand right now. I want you to make a stand right now. I want you to make a stand right now. Say, this is, I'm standing up. Dad said, like going to Hillbilly Chicken, sometimes you have to take a step. You have to be willing to take a step. We can't birth in private. When you give birth, listen, when a woman's having labor, she will give birth. The shyest woman on the planet, when she's in that level of pain, if there are 80 doctors in the room or they put it on live stream TV, she will give birth, I promise you. Yes. Ask a pregnant woman. If you really want to give, if you really want purpose in your life, if you really want to launch out, then shyness will not stop you. If you're shy, it won't happen for you yet. You're just not ready yet. But God says, right now, I want to launch purpose in your life. I want to change things for you. Last time I'm going to ask and then we're going to pray. Is there anybody else that says, I'm going to take a stand today? I want to step up. I want to signify right now that I am stepping up and stepping into purpose. Hallelujah. There's people all over this building. Jenny, are you ready to pray? Pray.
Yes. Father, you say in your word that all creation is groaning. As in the birth and in the labor pains. So I call forth labor pains right now. I call forth purpose. Let the silent no longer be silent. Let us cry out. I call purpose to maturity. That heart and the lungs would develop within the womb now. That it doesn't grow any further, but it comes out. And I ask that people respond to the labor pains. That you would cry out. That you would let other people know that you are giving birth right now. And I call discomfort to come to the forefront. No more comfort. No pregnant person spiritually in this room will be able to sleep one night without the pain of that birth coming forth. You will be reminded every day of the purpose that is in you. And in me, I will be reminded every day that I will not be silent. We will not be silent. We will cry out as we give birth to your purpose. Make us brave that we would follow your purpose with all of our heart. Break our pride. Break our apathy. Shake it all. Light it all up. Set it all on fire. Give us no option but you. That we would live without options. That we would live as if there's no plan B. Give us hunger and thirst for you. The kind of hunger and thirst that only a pregnant woman feels. The kind of cravings for you that only birthing women feel. That we would not starve in the process of giving birth, but that we would gorge ourselves on your word, Father, on your presence, that we would know you like never before. For those who have not found purpose yet, Father, let us be intimate with you in a way that reproduces. Let us be intimate with you in a way that causes us to become pregnant. Let us know the kind of intimacy with you that only your bride knows. I call you out of immature childishness and into a bride status. Let us be brides, Father. Prepare us for your birth. Prepare the way. Show us how to prepare the way. We're hungry. We want more. We are a remnant who wants more.